there was one thing that was pointed out that was a cool thing about that phone was, so Android uses hamburger menus, so you swipe out from the left, and having that curve makes it easier. But it's like, wow, one advantage, great. But I think, and actually the person who said it is like, I don't even know if that was intentional. Like, I don't think they were thinking about that when they did it, but it actually makes it easier to do that.
Is it Frogger?
More or less.
Oh! What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 27 of the Unwind. Sean laughs every time I say that. I'll stop doing it when you stop laughing. The weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
I feel like that was a tagline. I'll stop doing it when you stop laughing. Here we are at K-Rock 2014.
All right, so let's jump in with topics today. So I want to talk a little bit about morality in video games. Sean was telling me that somebody at Microsoft, or was it Live?
Microsoft. Live? It might have been Xbox.
So somebody someplace allegedly says that approximately 95% of people play good on their first playthrough when there is an option to play good versus evil in a video game. So first off, let's go around the table and just see, does that jibe with your typical playthrough? Rob, do you usually play good?
I always play good. I would imagine, Josiah, you're the opposite. You just strike me as the evil character.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see him right now, but he has horns sticking out.
Kick chickens and,
I'm trying to think back. Like, I don't think there's ever been a game where I played the evil playthrough. That said, so I started playing The Witcher 2 to prep myself for The Witcher 3 coming out. And I kind of just want to play evil. Like, I started thinking about, you know.
But how does morality work in that?
In Witcher, I mean, based on the first two games, it's not like so much evil. It's just like you can be more of an asshole.
Yeah.
Kind of like Paragon versus, what was the other one? Paragon and
Renegade.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that.
I'm definitely almost always good. Although I will say, I recently played Jedi Knight. Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, and I remember as a kid playing as good, so I'm like, oh, I'll just be evil this time. And spoiler alert, you murder your best friend. Like, when you make the choice, you murder her. And it's also clearly not canon because she's in the next game. So clearly being evil is not even, like, part of the storyline. But yes,
does she come back in the next game?
Oh, I guess. So they just assume, in if you're the light side, you don't kill her, obviously. Because that'd be a pretty bad light side Jedi.
That would be pretty... I can't say... I mean, how many games have you played where you had that choice, right? I mean, there was Mass Effect, you definitely had that choice.
That Mass Effect, like any BioWare game, because in KOTOR you can kind of choose
Age,
that, and then... I mean, I've definitely played.
It's been around
choices
for a long, long time. I mean, sometimes if you played evil, it would kind of break the game or make it much harder. But it's been around since the first Baldur's Gate. There was a chaotic evil wizard, red wizard, that you could get in your party. And if you did too many good things, he'd start bitching and moaning. And then, you know, obviously if you did bad things, he'd be all he'd be happy. But the other people in your party would be upset. So I forget, like, you could have maybe 6 or 8 people in your party. Probably 6. 8 sounds crazy. So, you know, if you had 6 people in your party, one would be happy with you and the other 4 would be upset. So, you know, it would kind of break the game. But even one of the first role-playing games that I started playing that really got me into it was Ultima 6 and then Ultima 7 more so. And the Ultima series is all about virtues. There are 8 virtues that you have to abide by. It's almost like commandments, that sort of thing. And I remember – so I typically play good because that's my nature, but – obviously, a big piece of role-playing games is loot and gear.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I would play good but steal like a son of a bitch. I would just steal everything that I possibly could. but otherwise I'm pretty much lawful good.
Fable too. You could also have you have the choice. And I definitely played the good on Fable as well.
But so one of the main problems I feel like with morality systems is a lot of times they turn into a game mechanic. So you realize, you know, what powers do I? So okay, Star Wars, it's so clear. Right. If you're on the light side, you can heal and do all these positive things. If you're on the dark side, you can just shoot lightning out of your hands. And if you want to shoot lightning, you have to go on the dark side.
Last week, so I did talk about me wanting the ability to shoot lightning from my hands.
My last name, I'm changing to Palpatine.
So I don't know. I was trying to think of what it would take for me to want to play evil. I don't know. Like, I just feel bad every time I make bad choices. Like in Mass Effect, right? You have, you know, your friends and stuff, and you have the dialogue options that you can choose.
Yeah.
And the ones that are bad, just like, no, screw you. Like,
yeah.
You're the worst person in the world. We're not friends. I was like, I like you. Like, I don't want to say that.
Yeah. I think that's the thing where you, where you have a party based game, you know, most of the people in your party are going to be relatively good. Not everybody, but like I said, most. And so it makes it difficult to play an evil or bad character. I would say that Fallout, some of the early the first two Fallouts, the isometric views, because – so you can have people in your party, up to two people in your party, so a total of three. But just the nature of the world is that, you know, people are morally ambiguous at best most of the time. So, and one of the people that you could have is a dog. So, you know, the dog doesn't judge you as long as you feed it.
Dogs are the best kind of people.
Yeah. Its name was Dog Meat. It was my best friend.
Well, so that's one area that a lot of people go into that makes a lot of sense, where it's more, everything is gray. There isn't really a good side or a bad side. The only caveat to that is, then you're really not evil or good, which obviously that's the point of gray.
Well, I mean, by today's standards, everybody in Fallout is evil, right? Because you're all doing drugs, you're all, you know, shooting people's heads off in the name of survival.
I don't know what you guys do,
but I typically don't shoot people's heads off. Or
he does drugs constantly.
Yeah,
he's high right now.
Yeah.
But I, you know, one thing I thought of that would be cool, I don't know how they would do it, is a Breaking Bad-esque thing. So one problem that I've always found is it's all a question of motivations. Like you said, Rob, so many times the choices are black and white. When there's a bad thing, it's so obviously bad.
Especially
no one would
Mass
ever
Effect,
do it.
I think they gave you the colors too. Like,
yeah.
Kind
well,
of
Mass Effect, in my opinion, was the worst just because they made it that way. I mean, that was purely a game mechanic. But other times, it's seriously like, you know, chop the king head off. Is that a bad thing to do? Of course it is. So it's a question of motivations, and I think one thing that's always understated, or needs to be more understated or realized, is that that was a bad sentence. One thing that needs to be realized is most people in real life that are evil don't start out evil. It's not like they're, you know, doing funny things as a kid and just hitting people. It's a slow a number of things happen that either turn them that way because of incidents that happen, events, or they, in a way, unintentionally become that way. And then that's why I think of Breaking Bad. And Walter White, his whole situation is what turns him into that person. And I'd love to see a game that could somehow, you could be good, or you might not realize you've become evil. Kind of, not to do a spoiler, but kind of like how what people say about the, what is it called? The alternate theory for Mass Effect?
Yeah,
the indoctrination.
Indoctrination theory. But what made it so clever was that you didn't realize that you had done these things. It was that you just did it. And that would be such a moment if it actually happened.
We were talking about Max Payne early, and obviously, you know, he goes on this rampage because his family's killed, right?
Yeah.
So what if you just chose to forgive them? The whole game series would be over. Just going around to all the different cops and being like, oh, it's okay, I understand.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a very difficult thing. I know criminals are difficult to deal with. Well, that would make for a very short game.
So actually, Dragon Age did a pretty good job at... not necessarily that piece of it, because it was pretty obvious when you were making bad choices and good choices, but there were a few times when you had to judge other NPCs, like whether to kill them, whether to turn them into a different authority or whatever, that I think they did a pretty good job in presenting that to you. So you had to kind of think of, okay, do I want to just make this decision for myself and just kill them? Do I want to, you know, exile them somewhere? Do I want to turn them into somebody else? And based on those choices, all the other characters in your party agreed or disagreed. But none of, like, they didn't all universally agree on things, right? So you have some that agreed with some of your choices, some that disagreed with some. The only thing is nothing really came out of that.
Right.
Right. So there's no consequence to, like, oh,
which is the most difficult part to write.
Right. Probably. So it'd be, well, you know, if I made a certain choice to say, okay, I'm just going to kill this guy off because he did bad things instead of, you know, putting him in prison for his life. And if one of my characters in the party disagreed, they should have just left the party or something like that. You know, if they felt that strongly, or there should have been a meter where if, like, they got to a certain point, they would just abandon you and not stand by your side.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate used to do that, I think. Like I was saying with that red wizard, I think it was hard to keep him in your party because he would typically just be like, you're goody-two-shoes, and then attack you midway through. Or, like I said, if you were doing things wrong, other people would leave, and it's almost game-breaking.
Right.
Yeah, see, I think the one thing you said about possible things they could do, I think this gets into the problem of balancing realism versus gameplay. Mm-hmm. It would make a lot of sense if you do an action, one of your companions or something leaves the party.
Yeah.
But then there's always the thought of, oh my gosh, this is my favorite guy. You know, he's got dual axes, so I don't want to lose him, so I'm going to choose a different option.
That's kind of the good part of it, though. Like, that's what I would want to see.
No, I know. But so I'm saying that I think developers would have to think, well, if people get pissed off because the only way they can keep the character they want is by gaming the system, by choosing the other ways.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like
real life, man. I make decisions. I stopped talking to certain people because I was friends with you, Sean.
And it used to. So Ultima 7, which is an incredibly old game, but I mean they had that, right? And they did a great job of making you feel connected to the characters and people in your party, because. You know, I would, like I said, I'd steal something, and then somebody in my party who has traveled with me since, you know, Ultima 1 or Ultima 2, not that I played all those games through, but, you know, that's the history that they build up with the character. You know, they'd say, Avatar, what are you doing? And, you know, and then they actually would leave. They'd run off, and you could chase them down, and then
tackle them, and you're with us.
And then the conversation would be like, you basically have to apologize and say, oh, no, I know, and I accept the virtues, and I apologize. I won't do it again.
Be my friend.
And then so you
send them again.
So then, you know, but then you would maybe start gaming the system. Typically, I'd play it straight, but every once in a while, if there was something that was just too good to pass up, I'd say, oh, I need you to leave the party.
Just go over there for a little bit. Come back for you.
And go take care of business. But I think they did a good job of making you feel guilty. But obviously in that situation, they wanted you to abide by the virtues. So I think it would be interesting to see if a game could convince you to do more of the bad stuff, the gray area stuff. I think maybe I haven't played them, but the Telltale games, you know, with the survival element, that sort of thing. Who do you let live and who do you leave behind? Mm-hmm. Those questions are pretty interesting.
I mean, that's what made that Telltale so groundbreaking. It's just because you really felt like choices, even though you do find out later that choices actually didn't matter that much, it feels like they matter. So extending that into morality would be great. Morality systems. So, okay, switching gears a little bit, kind of moving from video games over to tech, because we can do all kinds of things like that. We're versatile. And they're completely different. I mean, their demographics don't overlap at all. But anyway, I'm good at this. I'm a professional. This week was Mobile World Congress, and one thing that they show a lot of is phones. So Samsung put out their new phone, the Galaxy S6. And if you've looked at pictures of it, it kind of takes more than a few characteristics of the iPhone 6. And I think even more than – so it looks similar to it in that it's a little bit, I guess, bulbous. You know, the iPhone 4 and 5 were kind of flat-edged and things like that.
Yeah.
And then when they did the 6, they returned it to kind of rounded outsides. And the new Samsung is like that. Also, the bottom happens to have a speaker grill. It's just like the bottom of the iPhone 6.
Yeah, it looks exactly the same.
And it has two stripes, which the stripes were the things that everybody said was the bad thing about the iPhone, yet they decided to put stripes on the bottom for some reason. But so all these things, and also their improvements tend to follow in some ways. Some of them are just general improvements. For example, the camera is much better and it's much faster. It takes a picture almost instantly, which is a problem that Android cameras had, which is something that the iPhone is known for, but that might just be a natural evolution. But then there are other things, like they have a fingerprint reader, and apparently it's just as good, if not better, than Touch ID. That seems like a very iPhone-esque thing, since Android is not doing anything with fingerprint reading yet.
Right.
And then, and this has been a thing that Samsung has always had, but they have two capacitive buttons and one hardware button on the front. They have the one, it's an oval, but it clearly feels like the iPhone because the Android works with a three button system. So why they would have one hardware button on the front?
Yeah.
Anyway, all this is leading up to the fact that despite these kind of things where they kind of ape the iPhone, it seems like a great phone. It has a top end camera that's really fast. It has an excellent fingerprint reader if they decide to do that in the future. Amazing screen. It's incredibly fast and it's of high quality. Now, what do you guys think? When is copying going too far? And at what point would you support a company like this? Like, if you guys wanted to go to Android, this is essentially an iPhone with Android on it. Would you do it, or would you feel like, well, they're copying Apple too much, just out of respect, I wouldn't buy something like this?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, you can joke and say, okay, Apple patented the black rectangle, right? And,
yeah.
You know, and how many variations of a black rectangle can you have? But apparently you can have quite a few because
sure.
Apple keeps releasing different designs, and some other Android companies decide to release innovative designs, and even Nokia with Windows Phone, their designs, they weren't my favorite, but they were unique to their brand.
Hey, the N9 was beautiful. / Lumia 800.
So I mean, they can innovate and they can design things, but there's always going to be a little bit of referencing, and you know, when does referencing turn into copying? It's hard to say. I'm sure Johnny Ives has no problem saying, but,
not at all.
But, I would actually not buy a Samsung, or other, you know, some of the Xiaomi phones, like the Mi phone.
Yeah.
And what's the other one?
Lenovo made a phone, and not Motorola, because Lenovo owns Motorola now,
right.
But it was literally just a copy.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do it. I'm interested in the M9, the HTC One M9, mm-hmm. Which, you know, again, it's referential. It does
but
have some
not,
high quality,
yeah.
You know, metal components, which, you know, the iPhone had early on. But
you can't even use that because Nokia had a metal component. You can find all metal Nokia phones way before. I mean, you can tell there are things that are the natural evolution of phones.
Right.
Like, that's fine using the thing. But no, I don't feel like I know anyone who's saying that the M9 is really, or the M8 or M7 is really copying the iPhone.
Yeah.
Where
and
you feel like, yeah.
It's really, I think it's, you know, we are content providers. Creators, right? We're making a podcast, and I've made websites and other things in the past, and I like creativity and making things. And definitely you ride on the shoulders of those who came before you. But I respect people who come up with new ways of putting old ideas together.
Yeah.
And so the opposite of that is that I disrespect, right? I don't appreciate
I think appropriate.
Yeah, I don't appreciate when people just kind of copy and follow the leader. So Samsung, Xiaomi, I'm not interested in their phones.
So it's interesting because I think when we rebooted this again, I think the first episode I was talking about my switch from a Windows phone to an iPhone.
Yep.
And one of the biggest motivators behind it was the lack of a flagship phone. And even, you know, the flagship phones that they had put out recently are still just way too big, way too heavy, just not the design I wanted. And one of the deciding factors to me was when I was in Best Buy and I picked up the iPhone 6 and I was like, this is the most amazing device I've ever held in my hand. Like, this is the most beautiful piece of hardware I've felt for a phone. So if Nokia or Windows had put out the...
Or Samsung, they were making Windows.
Sure. So if
HTC,
somebody put out this, you know, the iPhone 6 with Windows Phone on it, I may have gotten that instead of the iPhone. I mean, now, you know, I've been using apps and I've gotten used to certain parts of the ecosystem, which would make it harder to switch back now.
Mm-hmm.
But had that option been available to me then, I probably would have gone for that rather than switching to iOS.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big
problem. So, I mean, business-wise, yeah, it makes sense. I just morally, ethically, I don't really want to reward companies for doing that.
We'll see how it works business-wise since there's probably going to be some lawsuits. Because that's the thing. One problem I have is a lot of people do, they say the black rectangle thing and say, oh, yeah, what do you do? They're just, you know, square things. despite the fact that you know if you threw all the iPhones on a table, you could immediately pick out which is which. And if you saw an HTC One, the Xperia line looks really nice, although you can't get it in America because boo Sony. But you can immediately tell they are different devices. They are very distinct and they are very high quality. But Samsung, you know, it's unfortunate because Samsung was, their Galaxy line was definitely different than the iPhone for a while.
Yeah.
After they had all those lawsuits, I mean, I think the Galaxy S3, 4, and 5, they were all different, but it's probably they all pretty much look like crap, so they realized, well, let's copy. I mean, I'm actually surprised that they did this, but who knows? I mean, it'll probably sell well because it seems like easily the best device, the best Android device, so.
Yeah, and you know, to be fair, like, as much as I dislike it, I don't think Apple should start suing them again. You know, I think we're beyond that. We just need to move on and differentiate in other ways. And the ecosystems and the apps are very different. And even, you know, as far as the operating systems, though, we could have that argument as far as who's borrowing from whom on the mobile devices. So I get that. And, you know, it's just kind of like, I have a negative association, and it's a shame because Samsung has some really good engineers too and designers, but
and a lot of money.
The other option is to go with that circle pod phone. It's like the size of a makeup case, and you just like flip it open, and it's a phone.
That seems like something I would want.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and like you said, to be fair, Apple definitely copies other things too. It's all the degree of copying, because there is going to be, when there are good products or good ideas, people are going to ape some things, but it's just the degree and how much you differentiate that, you know, can make or break. But so, time for halftime. So, we're going to have another brawl to the death. Is that already built into a brawl? Is it always to the death?
No, I don't think so.
This one is.
Well, this one's going to be to the death. So, we are fighting on a desert island.
We should point out that we're playing Super Fight in the card
game. Oh, we're supposed to advertise that?
No, but, you know, just so people realize we're not actually fighting, about to kill each other.
Well, we are on a desert island recording this right now, and we do happen to be in helicopters, because in this situation, we're all in helicopters. God.
Every time I have a size advantage of my thing, it's always in some other
some ridiculous container. Thing. So are you in a giant helicopter?
Apparently. So I am Goliath armed with a machete.
Wait, Goliath?
Goliath, the giant.
Wait, the thing from StarCraft?
Well, so originally,
Goliath Online.
Originally, I was going to go with, I'm, you know, David and Goliath, the Goliath. But I think it would be much more effective if I had machine gun turrets coming out of my hand. So I'm going to go with the StarCraft.
Okay.
Which means that me having machete really has no effect on this battle whatsoever.
And you might get sand in your circuitry a little bit, but...
Oh, we're in the air.
Oh, I guess that's true. We're in helicopters.
You can land your helicopter.
Goliath's online, son. What do you got?
Yeah.
I'll go next. I have a kaiju, which, again, is from Pacific Rim.
That can't last outside of water, can it?
Yeah, they can.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Seriously, are we going to go back to the one that I lost when clearly you guys wouldn't survive in space? Really? I think so, we'll give an exception.
So it's basically a giant creature that can't be killed by F-15s or traditional weapons. They basically had to invent gigantic robots that were piloted by psychically connected people.
Oh, like a Goliath?
No.
You're weak to machetes. Did you
know that? How tall is a Goliath? It's like, what, 10
feet,
12 feet?
I'm a Goliath. So I am the giant of StarCraft Goliaths.
These guys are like, you know, skyscraper size.
With you two, we're reenacting Pacific Rim. It's a giant robot fighting a giant monster.
Yes, but my advantage is I'm riding a nuclear missile.
So in a helicopter in the
conventional
desert?
So conventional weaponry, I'm just going to throw the missile at you, and then I'll nibble on their body parts afterwards.
Wow.
All right, what do you got?
This is very confusing.
Sean,
so
what do you got?
I'm flipping. The Navy.
The whole Navy.
The whole Navy. So we have a lot of helicopters chained to their evil twin, which I'm going to rule as being the Marines. So I have the Navy and the Marines. But they're all chained to each other in helicopters on a desert island. I don't know how we're all fitting on an island in helicopters.
First of all, if you're chained together, there's no way you can fly helicopters.
We are, well, obviously you're ambidextrous, but we're coordinated enough. That's what the military is known for.
Yeah.
They can figure this stuff out. And so the Marines work on one end and the Navy works on another end. And since they're kind of, you know, there's an antagonistic element to them, you don't know what they're going to do. They're kind of crazy. You know, they're the wild card. Might cut the brake lines.
Yeah, except they might start fighting each other.
You never know, but I have the whole Navy, so if a couple blow up, I mean, whatever. We'll kill off some people. We got millions.
I'm going to go with that I'm the best.
What is rule number one of Superfight? You cannot choose yourself.
Are we deciding right now?
You guys didn't make your arguments, did you?
I don't know.
I don't think I need to argue. A kaiju. I mean, politically, I might lose, but
politically,
because you guys might band against me. But I mean, a kaiju, right? Like, if you saw that movie, you know that, like I just said, they had to invent weapons that did not exist previously. So the Navy
did the Navy invent it? Or the Marines, possibly?
It took them 10 years to, like, invent stuff, and they were being exterminated.
So
like
the Goliath
all
was
mankind.
What they invented to destroy the kaiju. I don't know if you knew this.
Yeah.
And we control the Goliath.
Actually,
so.
And even still, you typically couldn't do a one-on-one battle. And at the end of this...
Have you seen Godzilla?
At the end of this movie... Yeah, they've never killed Godzilla, right? He's never lost a fight.
It's always one-on-one.
So at the end of this movie,
kaiju.
They actually had Category 5 kaiju, which like nothing could take care of them, and they had to stop trying to attack them. Like this kaiju like took out 3 Jaegers, and the end result was they had to figure out that there was a portal and close the portal. But that still didn't necessarily kill the kaiju. So basically, I win.
Well, part of
because
it is...
Also, I have a nuclear missile.
Yeah, yeah, and
so
we're going
to... I'm going to wait for Sean's army, or sorry, military forces to get nuked. And then my Goliath is going to rise like a phoenix.
Yeah, I'm not
going to
nuke the... Wow. They can't hurt me, so I'm going to obviously nuke the Goliath and then go nibble on the Navy.
Except that you forget that clearly the nuke has computer-based telemetry, so we'll hack in and switch it around. Not to mention that also
I can
we
pick
will
it
hire,
up and throw it.
We
Well, I'm going to just detonate it, though.
Yeah, and the other thing you have to remember is we are going to bring in a consultant, namely Josiah Hills, who happens to know all the ways to kill a kaiju, because apparently you know everything that needs to be done to kill them, and we're going to bring that consultant in.
I don't think you can afford him.
My fee, a billion.
There you go, Sean.
Sean, really?
Yeah.
This is getting...
I just don't want you to win again.
I know.
You can't throw...
You're going to have
to
have a call-in
vote. The military killed... Don't... I haven't seen
no.
the movie.
I haven't seen the movie either.
No, they lost.
Disadvantage.
Wait, so the movie ends with the kaiju winning and the whole world blows up? That would be awesome.
The humans won because it's a Hollywood movie.
Exactly. But whatever. Hey, that's the world it lives in.
But literally, the last kaiju like took out... 3 Jaegers all by itself.
You know how many Jaegers we have? We have
zero.
A lot of Jaegers.
You have zero. He has a Goliath, which is like a baby Jaeger.
No.
And
Goliath,
you just have
Goliath.
One.
Who was what side was Idris Elba on? The Black James Bond.
He
was on our side. Did he really? Damn, what
he
happened?
He had brain cancer. He died.
He died of brain cancer? Dumb. Kaiju didn't even get him? Damn. The slow death of individuals.
What's your vote, Sean?
I mean, a kaiju is made to fight a Goliath, but a Goliath is a Goliath. An army with machetes, what the hell is that going
to
do?
He's weak to knife.
1,000 cuts, man.
Make sushi.
I'm going to go with Josiah.
Kaiju sushi.
Well, I'm not voting for the Navy. I can't vote for myself, so I vote for
a
stupid Goliath.
It's a tie. That's okay, because Josiah doesn't win.
That's okay. That's the name of the game.
So Josiah retains his title in Super Fight, but
undefeated.
Does not add to it.
Oh, and by the way, they're in helicopters, so I don't know how the kaiju is going to fly a helicopter.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah,
and we're on a desert island. I don't know what he's
going to
crash.
I'll land the helicopter.
How does he
know
how to fly?
What's
he going to do?
Crashing doesn't matter,
yes,
right?
Yes, it does. You're crashing on a nuke.
When I fall on a building, the building building gets destroyed,
we're on a desert island, my friend.
I'm just saying.
Is it a desert island?
If I crashed, if I crashed a helicopter, it would have no impact on me because literally except I can step on buildings and it doesn't
get
me.
Except that you're in an anti-kaiju helicopter, coincidentally, that when it explodes, it murders you with Goliath shots.
Oh God! Yeah. Well, let us know. You'll have to leave the comments on the site and let us know. Please leave a comment. So anyway, we are getting excited because we are only a few days away from this year's PAX East.
I didn't know where you're going with that.
We're excited because it'll be the first time that all of us and our Roll to Hit crew, the whole Roll to Hit crew,
yeah,
is our other podcast, will be going.
We're taking over. The worst gang known to man.
The band of misfits will be taking over PAX East.
Yeah, so we'll be basically like discussing where to go for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Actually, then, the entire time.
And then we'll all roll ones.
Yeah.
We'll also be signing autographs.
We should bring D20s to decide where we actually go. That's a really good idea.
Oh, my God. That'd be the nerdiest thing possible.
At PAX East, Sean.
I think we might be up there. I think we might be.
What if there's a prize D20
to move. Or we'll do. Can we do a thing where Twitch plays Roll to Hit, where we move based on whatever Twitch has forward, left, bathroom.
So Sean and I went last year. I think the best thing for us was getting to try out the Oculus Rift. At least that was one of my highlights last year.
Yeah, except the demo was kind of crap.
Demo sucked. So that's why I wanted to talk about.
Great Goo was really the highlight.
Oh, but... God. So that's why I wanted to talk about what are you guys most excited to see going to PAX East. So I'll start because I don't want you guys to steal my stuff. So I want to see, again, I want to see a better, like Sean pointed out, a better VR demo, whether that's, I'm hoping Project Morpheus, that's what they call it, right?
Yes.
Sony's VR headset will be there. I'm sure Oculus will be back again, hopefully with a real demo and not just a thing where we were like attacking Furbies with each other.
I want to see Farmville in VR, because Facebook.
So that's the big one for me. As far as games go, Witcher 3, I would imagine, will be there, so I would like to get a demo of that. The Indie Mega Booth is always fun. Why don't you
just name everything at PAX so we can't choose anything?
All right, so the biggest things I want to see that probably... Oh, I'm hoping No Man's Sky is there. That's the one game. I didn't even think about that.
I don't think they'll show it until
really
it comes
out. I'm really super psyched. And then the other thing is I wish, and you know this is a far-off wish, just some kind of demo of Mass Effect. Like, I don't care if it's just a video in a closed room, whatever it is, just show me some inkling of Mass Effect being alive and...
Shepard comes out.
I'm going to wear my N7 jacket, so that'll be my...
There aren't that many of those at PAX.
No, there's tons.
Yeah, you kind of covered the bases.
That's the goal.
I definitely want to go to the Indie Mega Booth. I like indie games.
Down Below, I think, was there last year. You played that
Not
last
Down
year.
Below. Or what? I think it's just called Below.
Below, yeah.
There's not Down Under. Deep Down is
the Australian version.
That one is the free to play dungeon crawler that's coming out for Sony. I'm just telling you this for no reason, but
okay.
So you don't mix it up because I can tell you're doing.
I appreciate. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So yeah, I really want to see Below because I played it last time, but it's a really experiential game and atmospheric. So being in a loud, I don't know, auditorium, I guess, it makes it a lot worse. I don't actually know what I want to see, but I feel like indie games are really where a lot of the game innovation is coming from.
Yeah.
I would definitely check out The Witcher and Oculus as well. Actually, last time was one of the earlier times they showed up Evolve, which at the time was really cool.
Impossible.
Yeah, it was just super long line, so we never played it. And they were showing Heroes of the Storm, too.
That's right.
So there are cool stuff to show.
Yeah. It didn't work at all. None of that.
But yeah, and you know, a thing that we might check out, although it's kind of a long haul thing, is there's a whole tabletop section.
Yes,
tabletop games, so that might be cool to check out.
Yeah, we've been getting into a lot of tabletop games over the past year and a half, so
yeah.
Great to see just what's coming out that's new, and yeah.
And panels, although I didn't really see too many that I liked.
So we're going on Saturday.
But I think there will be cool ones.
We're going on Saturday. I was hoping that GameSpot would do the lobby because we went to that last year and that was a lot of fun.
There are Giant Bomb and GameSpot people doing stuff, but it's not the lobby because Danny's not there and Chris isn't there.
Boys.
I'm telling you, I think you'll like Vinny Caravella and a few other people.
Well, we might have to go to that then.
Yeah.
Do you have any Street Fighter stuff? Like fighting games?
Well, the next Street Fighter is coming out relatively soon, so they probably will have it.
Do they? Not that I would play, but. Do they do any tournaments on locations?
Oh, I don't know.
They have, like, tournaments. They do have a lot of tournaments.
Yeah.
So here's a crazy thing. At PAX, so there's the main, like, exhibit hall, and adjacent to that is the where they do tabletop gaming, and then there's, like, panels nearby. But if you walk around the convention center, there are all these smaller conference rooms mm-hmm. where people just have random stuff to play. There's one where there's all these, I guess, older consoles now, like N64, Dreamcast, PlayStation 1. They just had, you know, 30 TVs all hooked up to those, and you could play whatever you wanted.
And there was a line for that?
No, no, it was empty. And then there was another one where it was all arcade machines, cool. Although the only problem was all the arcade games were really old games, as in, you know, Galaga and Pac-Man, nothing even from the 90s. It was like, all
before you were born. That's what, that's what you meant to say, right? Yeah.
Okay. but there's a whole nother section. There's, you know, people playing Pokemon with each other because they have all their DSs. Like, there's a whole nother section. Now.
You do.
So there's that element,
forgetting
too.
Forgetting to trade for my, like, 20th level.
Didgeridoo.
Yeah, I think...
Didgeridoo.
It's a new Pokemon.
That's a new Pokemon.
Yeah, they should call it.
I would like to, if there are any tournaments that are, you know, accessible, I think it'd be pretty cool. I
gotta get your chops up, man.
Yeah, are you secretly amazing at Street Fighter?
He is.
No,
he is.
No.
He trains.
Oh, sure.
No, I'm not good anymore. I used to be decent, but...
They had one last year where you got to play against the developers. I think, I want to say Street Fighter was one of them.
Like, I played Street Fighter 4, and they changed the timing of it, so I'm shit at that game. Mm. But Tekken I was pretty good at in college, and Street Fighter was okay at.
My thing Street was Fighter 2. Fei Long and doing the
that's a
circle kick. I know, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do anything else. I'm just like and I would always be Yoshimitsu, and I could never get his sword out. So
yeah.
Or he had it, but he would just punch. I'm like, you have a sword. What are you doing punching?
Yeah, I was pretty decent at that game, but, you know, that was several generations ago. I could play...
Oh, that's a cocky start.
I could play Yoshimitsu. I could play Wei...
Wei is it Fei Long?
No. The cop.
Oh, yeah.
I liked him the best. I wasn't the best with him. Like, I could play Eddie pretty well, but he's really cheesy. I mean, I knew what I was doing, but it's just cheesy. Because you can string attack after attack. It's really tricky. But the cop, I'm pretty sure his name was Wei Wulong. I liked him because he was more like traditional kung fu, and he had several different styles. So you could press different combinations to go into snake style. Dragon style, tiger style. And then he had different moves in each style. So that, it just looked awesome. I'd always go into drunken style and do some crazy shit there. But yeah, I'd like to see any kind of fighting game tournaments if they have it. And then also, you know, the basic stuff. So any RPG, Mass Effect would be awesome, but I'm pretty sure they're not going to show that at PAX. They'd save something like that for E3.
Yep.
But and The Witcher 3, I'd be interested in seeing anything like that. They might have DLC for Dragon Age or something. But the big thing that I'm interested in is a Dungeons & Dragons game. Where you can
you should make a podcast.
Yeah. Well, it's called Sword Coast Legends. And it's basically you can, you know, it's kind of like Neverwinter Nights was, in that you have a DM.
Oh, it's a game?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I heard about
it. You can map out tiles and stuff
this
like
is
that.
What you're telling us about.
Yeah.
I heard about this from you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You remember that time I was talking and you barely
again,
paid attention?
You guys don't exist on the outside of this.
Yeah, now you'll remember because it's in the podcast.
It's in the podcast.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't heard a lot about this game. I haven't seen a lot of hype around it, but if it's there, I'm definitely going to check it out.
I would love to see another hybrid game. I forget the name of the one.
Aeon Altar?
Yeah. That
yeah,
was there last
that would be
year,
cool.
Where it was part, you know, tabletop and part, you know, digital also.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I would love to see something like that again. That's kind of... We talked about doing hybrid games and, you know, there isn't really much on that scene yet. So that'd be pretty cool to see, pretty innovative.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I actually don't know the list of games that are going to be there, but that would be cool because there are definitely a lot of random companies that bring their stuff there because it's just... So if you guys didn't know, so, you know, E3 is definitely press-focused for gaming. GDC, which a game developers conference, which happens to be going on now, is really developer-focused. PAX is probably the biggest in America, a biggest conference in America that's consumer focused. Right, so a lot of it is just people and stuff like that. So you get to see things like that. And so, you know, that's why Indy does so well there, is because you can talk directly with, you know, I mean, I didn't talk to him, but I feel like he's famous now. Oh, what's his name from Flambeer? I know you know who he is. But there were just people. I saw Greg Kasavin. I wanted to talk to him, but I was like, man, he's such a huge nerd. Why am I nervous about talking to Greg Kasavin? But he's so deadpan, and you know, he's Russian. He's got that vibe. So I didn't say anything to him. But they were showing Transistor then.
Oh, cool. Yeah, they were showing Transistor.
That's right. Was awesome. But anyway. All I was trying to say is, since it's consumer-focused, you might get to see some of those smaller games, which is cool. And if you're into it, I'm not that big of a person about it, but they definitely have cosplay. A lot of people
That's the other big thing. I'm definitely going to bring my camera, charge up all my batteries, and just take pictures of...
Pokemon are you going to dress as? That's the question.
Well, David's going to dress up as Pikachu.
Okay.
And do his lightning tail attack. So I'll get pictures of that. And but I won't be dressing up because I'll be behind the camera.
Post some of those pictures.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, wait. So you and I are the only two with black hair. Does that mean one of us has to be Ash Ketchum? Rob, are you going to be Gary?
I don't wear hats, so.
Which one of us looks like a Ketchum more? Seriously, his last name was Ketchum. Seriously.
Ketchum all.
I know. Call it Ketchum. Professor Oak will be there to be ambiguous about your gender. So, are you a boy or a girl?
I guess that makes you Ash, then.
Oh, just kidding. Just kidding.
A boy?
No, because you're ambiguous.
Oh, burn. I didn't even get the joke, and I got burned double time. All
right, that is going to do it for this week's episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to us. We're on the iTunes and on Stitcher. Be sure to share us, comment, leave us your reviews. You can submit questions and topics at theunwind.audio, which will take you to our page on the comments block, where we also have a D&D podcast that we mention a lot.
because we need more viewers on that one. No, that's actually, one.
Called Roll to Hit, and that's going to be it. We'll be back next week.
Chicka-pa-pa, chicka-pa-chicka-pa-pa. You know what it's from, right?
Doug Funny.
Yes!